right.
Oh, no, go ahead. Push the button. 6:32. Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, woo! Oh,
okay. I think it's not on video. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Gloria, if you will, could you do a roll call, please?
No.
Commissioner Barlow?
Here.
Commissioner
Barber? Here.
Commissioner Chase?
Here.
Commissioner Schilder?
Here.
Commissioner Bolte is absent. Commissioner Kilman?
Here.
Commissioner Mathewson is absent. Commissioner Fleiss?
Here.
Commissioner Strong?
Present. Adjustments to the agenda. I'd like to suggest two, since they were suggested to me, to move item 11A up to 5A. So basically, we would vote in the new chair, vice chair, and secretary before we conduct the rest of the business for the evening.
So moved.
I make a motion, we move it.
Second.
move twice and second it.
Okay, now.
Second.
Seconds are for grabs. Okay.
Can we just do a voice all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Getting better at this, though. Motion is carried. And one other change, I made a mistake again. 11C, the SIP plan is for 25 through 29, right, Pete? So I'd like to suggest a motion that we change that to 25 to 29.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. Remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public. Okay. Item 5A, to consider and act on a motion to elect the 2024 Parks and Recreation Commission officers as follows. Chair, Rocky Stone, Vice Chair, Matt Beaupre, Secretary, Morgan Mathewson.
So moved.
Second.
Do we need a roll? Gloria, could you? Thank you.
Do these people want these positions?
any discussion?
Matt's not here.
Good question, since they're not here.
So,
what happens when you're not here?
So Matt Beaupre offered to do this. Okay. He did want to make sure everybody was okay, that he will miss 3 to 4 meetings during the course of a year due to coaching at sports and stuff. I pointed out to him that I've been a member for, I think, 3 years now, and I haven't missed a meeting, so, but, and Morgan was the secretary last year, or Gloria hasn't missed a meeting in forever, so.
Rocky, yeah, I think we all understand that these folks will do a fine job yourself.
Okay. All right.
Could we have a... Do I have to say it again?
Roll call vote.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barlow?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yay.
Commissioner Chase?
Yay.
Commissioner Schober?
Favor.
Commissioner Hillman?
Favor.
Commissioner Fikes?
Favor.
Commissioner Strong?
Favor.
Oh, he is crazy.
All right. To consider and act on a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of December.
Okay, raise your hand.
The motion is carried.
Point of order.
Thank you.
Gloria did not turn on this device when she did the roll call.
Okay.
So, for the record, can I repeat it for you guys so it's on there?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. All right, roll call. Commissioner Barlow.
Here.
Commissioner Carver.
Present.
Commissioner Chase.
Present.
Commissioner Schoberg.
Present.
Commissioner Gokri is absent. Commissioner Hillman.
Present.
Commissioner Mathewson is absent. Commissioner Fikus.
Present.
Commissioner Stone.
Present.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. To act and consider on a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of December 20th, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Do we need a roll call for this, or there's no discussion, just a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Recreation Director's Report.
Since we have quite a lengthy budget process, I'll just bring your attention to the first one on page 2. The Spotted Donkey Mini Donuts food truck would like to set up at the community center on Saturday mornings and sell their product. And they would have to, get our approval, obviously, but I didn't know if we wanted to do that or whether we open up a can of worms where all kinds of food trucks are there on a Saturday and now there's no room for the public to park? Or do we want to just say no more than 2 on a particular weekend? Because I'm sure once they see someone there.
What kind of activities do you typically have going on?
Well, dance starts, but they park out back for the most part.
Correct.
And then we have special events every now and then, which are usually around noon, 1 o'clock starts, but we also have rentals.
So if somebody rents the facility, they're going to want access to the parking.
Correct. They park out front.
Right.
I think, what time is the food truck looking to be there?
They're donuts, so they'd be there till probably 1 o'clock. She's really up for anything.
The thing is, though, if you allow her, other trucks are going to come, at least there's a fee that you charge them to come. You know, like some places will charge a fee to have their place on your property. And then she still has to go through Uncas Health, which she probably has already.
Yeah.
It's just that you're going to, if someone sees that and they see she's making money, then someone else is going to drop off their truck there too. So I think either there's no fee that you can charge her to go there. Can you say?
Sure. You can charge her anything you want. We rent the facility out and it's $100 deposit. It's very similar to the pavilion.
I mean,
traditionally, we haven't charged for food trucks 4-hour events other than the carnival.
Part of me says it's good for the community to have something like that there, but it may open up a can of worms.
Well, maybe if we just limit it, like you said, to 2 trucks, that's per weekend or whatever, and
first come, first serve.
You can rotate them or
have to sign up.
Yeah.
Well, we could even do 1 truck and charge them whatever, $25 or whatever might be a reasonable price and see how it goes, I guess. We could do that also.
I think there's merit to the idea just of requiring a sign-up or a schedule just by imposing a little bit of a hurdle. If you haven't complied with it, you're out, rather than a significant amount of money.
Yeah, and you're right. Someone could just pull up and park there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Establish a procedure. And
now, do these trucks usually have a 365-day-a-year license from Uncas Health to operate?
Yes.
So they can pull and park anywhere they want. Okay.
They're supposed to notify where they're going to be to the health department. So if the health department wants to go out to inspect them, they can. So at the farmer's market, they might know they're there, but they inspected that truck recently. They're not going to go out.
So this request looks like it's for Saturdays, you know, I guess every Saturday unfettered. That's probably not something we should, right? We probably should have some sort of limit on it.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying with regard to the other good suggestions when I said something about establishing a procedure. I mean, it shouldn't just be that one person gets a monopoly or, you know, the first person to sign up for the year, you know, gets the
right.
business. I do appreciate that it provides somewhat of a benefit, you know, as well to people who are attending.
Would you suggest a proper action or maybe have somebody take a look at writing something up and presenting it next meeting?
Well, we could, and a couple of us could talk about it or, you know, think about it. If I can help, you know, I'm glad to, Rocky, but...
What does everybody else think of that? You think we should, instead of jumping into this, should we maybe try to come up with a few words and then talk about it next month?
Have you ever had a truck there before do this? Or is this the first
No.
time?
No.
Okay.
No, it's always been farmer's market or an event that we're putting on, whether it's a multiple day or single day.
Yeah, if they said they wanted to go up to Camp Oakdale, the recreation facility, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. There's plenty of room up there.
Well, that's it. There's plenty of room.
There's no traffic right this time of the
Nobody's
year.
There right now.
Well, maybe we should, you know... solicit Pete's thoughts on this, since any kind of a process or procedure is probably going to fall back on Pete and his day-to-day staff during the week to figure out and apply. So what do you think is
working? Come up with something?
Yeah, I was thinking no more than two and limit it to a certain time of the day, which is going to be difficult for some of the ones that serve you know, something more substantial than donuts, like pulled pork or pulled chicken, because they're going to want to get the lunch crowd. But the birthday parties or anything else similar to that we are renting out are usually from like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning until 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So we would have to designate where they could park, how long they could be there. And I would really just go out to all the food trucks in the area, either contact Uncas Health saying send this information out to all the food trucks to make it available to whomever. And then again, you can put it in our newsletter or get the word out through the food truck.
Well, how many cars does the parking lot hold off the top of your head? A couple hundred? Is it that much?
No.
100?
Less than that.
So when someone rents a facility, they don't really ever fill a parking lot?
40, I would say. 40, 50, somewhere in that neighborhood. In that front and side
front.
Parking lot. Out back, there's plenty, of course. But,
right.
I would suspect there'd be people.
Could you put your thoughts together and then send it to me? And then
I told it wasn't going to be an immediate reaction to the request, so I thought it's going to take a while because I said it could open a can of worms, but
okay,
it could be like New Haven's strip down there.
I think Pete's clearly had some, you know, thoughtful input into this already, and we can, you know, take a further look at it. And you know, I think, you know, one thing that I'd be a little bit leery about is a situation where we, you know, in effect as a commission, take responsibility for this, and the next thing you know, you're getting emails, Rocky, about people wanting to set up a food truck or something.
I mean, of course, I'm leery of giving someone carte blanche to be there every
52
weeks a year. That kind of concerns me. That there should be some.
Well,
they have to ask every month or something.
And some sort of a
Very similar schedule to what the farmers market does. You know, they every Tuesday, but they're not always the same trucks.
Right.
They've got four or five different ones coming in. So,
okay.
But again, a lot of people may not operate in the winter as well.
So for right now, I guess I'd say no. Does that sound right? Till we can come up with some sort of process for that to happen. I just had a comment on the next item about, if this sounds really great, an organization called K9 Frisbee Toss. They've rented Palmer Field. It's like a kind of where they line the fields and
Yep. Yeah.
So here's my thought that I had about it. Aren't dogs prohibited from being on playing fields?
They
don't
are,
we have an ordinance in the town?
We haven't used that as a playing field.
I mean, there's soccer posts on it. There were. Oh, no, they play baseball is what they used to like.
Oh, they show up, but they don't reserve it. They just...
So you don't consider that a playing field?
I'm just wondering if we're
going to hear something about this.
So this is an interesting thing, because I remember it came up a couple of years ago.
Who owned it?
In respect to a different ordinance that we've talked about this, Rocky, even though that particular ordinance was really geared toward the question of smoking on recreational property. It attempted to define in the town code of ordinances what are the recreational properties under the control of this commission.
Right.
So I think the ordinance puts it out and so forth. And so between that ordinance and the fact that there was a map prepared by the planning department, they were good at making a lot of color-coded maps and so forth, and on that map, Palmer Field was designated as a recreational area, and we began to wonder at the time, is this something that we have, you know, some degree of purview?
And I think we thought we do, and, you know, although
people
I don't think he would be renting it out if... Right. He didn't feel the same way.
And yet, I don't know, where does Palmer Field end and the proposed dog pound site begin? And what are the issues there? We probably ought to be looking at this a little bit before we...
Yeah, that's been the pound has been staked out. If anybody drive by, you'll be able to see the stakes in the ground.
Yeah.
It's up against the back wall.
So it still seems to leave a pretty good area clear. I think it's great that you know, the more recreational areas, the better in the town. I don't think it precludes any other use in the future. But if it's a matter of you know, someone want to use it and mark it out and so forth, I certainly...
Yeah, one of the things I spoke with this woman about was just that they are required to pick up any litter that the dogs do.
I know,
and
you wouldn't.
I guess
you wouldn't
they do
rent
that
out
everywhere.
The soccer field to allow this kind of activity.
Oh yeah, I'm not. Yeah, they wanted to use
field
one. We did
have couch bingo on the community center park a lot many years ago.
You know, even if the Palmer site does become diminished slightly in size in future, I still think it's, you know, an important asset.
I think it's still considered a park. It's been used
recreationally in the past and so forth. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, that there's any anything in place in terms of ordinances or otherwise that prohibits some other use, you know, in the future. It's, you know, but, you know, it's an asset. I think it ought to be continued as such. Obviously, the town puts a lot of effort into mowing it.
Right.
Why shouldn't people use it?
We actually don't even mow it. The school department.
The school
mows
that one.
That's right. We talked about that on a previous occasion. We don't pay for that benefit, and, you know, it doesn't.
Will
come
the
out
town
of the town
be responsible for lining this for them, or they're doing? The town will have nothing.
No, they, you know, they're trying it this winter. They had assumed there'd be snow on the ground already, but they would use cones. They expected to have snow.
There's been no, as far as you're aware, Pete, no concern raised in the past by Public Works, for example, if we use any of that area?
No. Because it's really just open space.
We use it for our graduation.
Yeah.
We use it for our field day.
Yeah.
People walk their dogs all the time,
you know,
there.
Maybe at some point in the future there becomes a turf war. I mean, no pun intended, over whose responsibility is.
There is a couple properties, not to rehash, but, you know, the Kobeluk Field is a little... Public Works takes care of that as opposed to the school.
Yeah.
But that's on school property, but that again is...
Yeah, the status of there are several properties is a little bit murky. I think we've covered that.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we got a phone call or two about that. So that's all. Anybody have any other questions on the director's report? A report from finance? So I noticed a couple more negatives, and again, I'm getting confused. At one point, we used to be very concerned about that and have to move money around, and now it seems that it's being done by the finance director. So,
No, they're really the only one that we she's not concerned about is the Fair Oaks Camp Oakdale the negative 9-11-50. Because we're bringing in, those are all the rentals. So we bring in a $100 deposit, we get 50 back. So it's going to be revenue neutral. So she'll fix that through the revenue stream at the end of the year instead of doing it every month. The other one would be the $175.48 that we will need to make a transfer of, so that that one can zero out.
You know, Rocky, it's an interesting point. You know, you were smiling earlier about the subject of line item movements of money and so forth. And of course, several years ago, when we were going through the powers of this commission under the charter, it was, I won't say unique, but, you know, a rare power among the boards and commissions of the town to be able to move around funds from line item to line item of in the case of a town department, the recreation department in this case. And I suppose some of us perhaps thought that maybe it was our exclusive purview to do that. On the other hand, if, as you say, the finance director makes things happen without without making much ado about it, it maybe is yet another area where it begins to appear that the mechanisms of the town charter, as it currently stands, reflects a time when bookkeeping practices were different than they are today, when the management of the finance department might have been different than it was today. So, while we have the power to do that, I don't know if we've determined it's our exclusive responsibility.
Well, that's probably the prevalent one, is that the finance director probably has the same power.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
per se, to balance budgets out.
Perhaps. So
it could be a joint. In this case, it could be a joint.
Perhaps. And I'm not suggesting again that it's something that we should be arguing with her about. It's just that I caught your smile on the subject.
Well, last year we had a lot of items go negative.
Yeah,
we never took any action on any of them.
Yeah,
they just all magically just got cleaned up. And I remember that was one of the duties that we had to look at every month. And we would see what was negative, and the next month we would make recommended adjustments and vote on them, and it all seemed to kind of go away.
I wonder if anybody was paying attention.
Well, for this particular one, I think it's more or less it's going to continue every month to increase, because every month we are renting, like we've got one this weekend. So when we send out the refund, it'll continue to grow. So if you think, just for convenience, do it in June and not have to do it every single month.
Let this one run till June.
Yeah, that was more of the case than anything.
So we will look at cleaning up the other one for next month. Okay. Any other comments on the?
You could do the printing one right now if you wanted to, but that's up to you, folks.
I think we usually make a motion and a formal motion. We'll do that. We'll do it next month. Unless somebody opposes that. Okay, January newsletter.
So this is the draft that I was able to put together. There's not a lot of special event activities that are happening in February. But as you can see, we do have, I've already had a couple of emails from folks asking when camp counselor positions are going to be open. They will open March 1st for any positions we have available. I spend the month of February contacting last year's staff to see who is interested in coming back and what, if any, time they would need off. If you don't need any time off, you're hired again. If you need time off, then we're going to have a little discussion about how much that is. And if it's a day or two, not so much. But if you're going to miss a week or two, you may be finding another place to work. It's just too difficult to fill the positions. We have 22 counselor positions that are, for the most part, college students. We've had, I think, a high of 7 high school kids since I've been here out of the 22. Usually it's about 4. So it's difficult because, parents' expectations versus what reality is two never meet. So getting those folks who are more mature, are looking to continue their career in education, recreation, or any type of child care service, those are the folks we're targeting. So the high school kids, for the most part, don't have a lot of experience. I interview them regardless whether they have any experience at all or not. I think that's something that they need to have, going through a formal interview. So whether you're 16 years old and never had a job, you're still going to get an interview. So we set one up, lasts about 40 minutes, and then on to the next person. So other than that, the next big thing, of course, is going to be our Easter egg hunts, plural. I'll be out soliciting businesses for prizes for the flashlight hunt. We get 6,000 eggs. We split the cost of those eggs with the Masons here in town, and they help. They probably bring a dozen or so folks to the event, help us spread out the eggs, and the bigger part is pay the bill for us as well. We use 3 fields. We have a field for 2-year-olds and younger. Most of the time they're with their parent, and they only pick up 4 or 5 eggs because they're really not sure what they're supposed to be doing. There's a field for 3 to 5-year-olds and then 1 to 6 to 10. And all 6,000 eggs are gone in like 5 minutes. If you've ever seen it, it's crazy. And invariably somebody shows up at 5 or 10 minutes after 1 o'clock and, oh, I'm here for the hunt. Well, there's nothing left, sorry. But the Easter Bunny is there. They supply the Easter Bunny. We have pictures afterwards. And the flashlight one is at night. We have 50, 60 kids signed up for that. It's free, of course. And so they find the eggs with candy in them. And then I have a separate field that have a large egg. It's about a 3-inch egg. And I put a number inside the egg. They can find 1 egg. And once they're all found, they all come back to the parking lot, and I just randomly call out numbers, and they come up and pick a prize. So it'll be number 37. Who's got that one? They come up, and they pick a prize, where it's, pizzas or movie tickets or Red Sox autograph. We had Rafael Devers 8x10. That was nice. That was 2 years ago. Can't remember who we had. A baseball autographed anyway. Tickets to Yard Goats or Norwich Sea Unicorns, I guess they're called now. I keep changing their name. So that's usually a pretty popular one. The adults want me to do one for, and the prize is inside the eggs being nips, but I don't think our insurance company would be high on that idea. Okay. So other than that, we're good to go.
Any questions? Okay. Unfinished business, discussion of projects and funding status. I'm going to table most of this just so we can get to the budget. There is one of the in the packet I put together. I did throw that spreadsheet in again that barely readable, but it basically has all the funding we've been appropriated through the different agencies, whether it's SIP plan or COVID. I'm not sure if everyone was aware or not that at the last town council meeting, the town council appropriated another $70,000 towards repair of the Camp Oakdale Pavilion. So right now, we had 55, so we have 125,000 right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the budget. So, there's that. And then the dance room update, the floor in the dance room is done. I think they started using it tonight. Yeah, right, because of the weather and stuff.
Yeah, put the mirrors back in this morning in the bars. So it's good to go.
They were working right through last weekend to make it happen. And the parents of the students have actually planned a party. They were going to have a party last Saturday. They rescheduled it because the floor wasn't ready. I think I sent everybody just a reminder. We're all invited if you'd like to attend. We're going to, again, this really has nothing to do with the program. The parents really did it as a thank you to everybody sitting here and all the town council and the mayor for supporting getting this floor put in. So anybody that could wants to attend is more than welcome to attend. So there's that. Okay. New business to consider and act on a motion to approve the 2024-2025 recreation budget.
Rocky, to be clear, just for the benefit of the newest people here, we're talking about the Recreation Department budget, not the Parks and Recreation Commission budget, which is a very small thing and it's something different.
That's actually part, that's in here also.
Right.
Both of them, correct.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that. So what Pete had put this together, I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay, let's back up a step. I was rolling along so well, too. To consider and act on a motion to approve the 2024-2025 Recreation Department budget.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion.
Second.
Now we can have a little discussion on the matter. Thank you. Pete put this together. It's a kind of a two-part. He has the budget, and then there's a backup piece of paper as to why some of the budget line items have changed, increased, decreased. He'll need that when we present this to the finance director. And then ultimately it'll get reviewed. Does it get reviewed by the town council, or does it go to the mayor for review and then to the town council?
It'll go to the mayor as well as the finance committee.
Right.
So that's where we make the presentation.
The finance committee is the...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the meeting that we went to last year.
Right. You know, I looked at it. I really didn't have any questions on it, Pete. I don't know if anybody else had an opportunity to review it or had any questions on it. If not...
If I could just make a comment or two so that it's a little bit clearer. The revenue side is what I really want to talk to you folks first, which is the third page. Currently, the summer camp program is $70 a week. And over the last 3-4 years, the cost of the minimum wage has increased significantly, and it's gone up again 69 cents this month. We have been charging $70 since 2021, and in order to generate some more revenue to cover some of the expenses that we're going to have, we may want to think about going up $5 to $75 a week. Still a bargain, but I will caution you, every time we go up even $5, we have a little dip in registrations because people get outraged that we've gone up. Even though I'm sure if we went up a dollar, they would complain. We had about $5,000 worth of scholarships that money we're not going to collect. And if you recall last year, we did put a line item in for scholarships at $5,000. So that was a pretty good guess. I think it was $44,900 and something from this past summer. But at the Finance Committee meeting, the members decided to eliminate that $5,000 from our budget, and any scholarship money would be just a loss. We would not collect that revenue. So obviously that's what's happened. So we can either put $5,000 in now that we have some concrete numbers and see if they will allow that to happen again so that it won't impact the revenue we're projecting at $112,000. Or we'll just go along with not collecting another $5,000.
I think we discussed that quite extensively last year. I thought it was just best not to worry about transferring money between departments.
Let's just
not collect it based on need and see how it turned out. And, you know, I think it worked out fine just doing it that way. As far as raising the fee, I honestly thought we had done that last year. I know we talked about doing it last year.
Yep, we did.
About halfway through the year, I said something to Kate about it, and she says, no, we never did it. I thought we should have done it last year.
$75.
No. Yes, you can. Yes, you
may. So last year we did propose raising the fee by $5, and there were a couple of commissioners who were not on board with that, and I don't remember offhand why. So at that time we decided to keep the fee the same.
Yep. And we still can do that.
Cheap even at $75 a week. That's cheap.
It's $1.87 an hour.
Yeah, it's cheap.
When all said and done.
I think $5 isn't a lot to ask.
And I don't think so either compared to what you're getting. You're getting breakfast, you're getting lunch, you're getting 8 hours of care, the transportation to and from camp if you need it. As you can see, it's roughly $215 is about our average. We don't get that many kids that show up in a day, but we do have 230 kids registered for camp every day. So we're getting, for whatever reason, there's 30 kids that don't show up for camp every day, which is, thank you. We'll take 30 less kids.
And especially that now that we've established a program for helping families that are in need.
It's the parents who have multiple children that see it as an obstacle. They have two or three children, and to pay that all up front in May is difficult for them. So as best I can, I kind of put them on a payment plan. If they don't qualify for any scholarship funding, that is not determined by us, by the way. That's determined by social services. They fill out the forms. I think we had 6 or 7 families, if I recall, that qualified. And some parents don't even bother. They just say, okay, here's $20 a week until I can pay it off, kind of thing. So
Do you need this number approved before we submit the budget?
Well, it's part of the, it would be part of the revenue. If it stays at 70, then I can make the adjustment to the revenue side as to what that number
will be. So is this something we should vote on right now?
Yeah. If you're going to submit the budget, you know, in a timely manner to the finance director.
They wanted it what, end of?
They want it, you know, this month if they can. But I know other departments, if I'm not mistaken, Mayor, have not even come close to starting theirs. But
so
I know, Commissioner Hillman, you get yours in?
Should we,
do you have your budget in for?
Should we gin up a budget
registration?
To?
Darn it.
We got two. We already have. We've got one open right now on the budget itself. I don't know if we should vote on that, and then maybe come up with one for the increase in the fee.
It's $5. I mean, everybody's aware of what, you know, everything's going up.
Yeah, I mean, at one time, a long time ago, the camp was free, although meals weren't provided. But we're really providing, in effect, a child care service. Although it's great that kids are able to be outside among their friends and so forth, and at $75 or even $80, you know, I take others' word for it that it's a relative bargain.
It's really a difference of $7,525, 70 versus 75.
Right. All right. Let's do this. To act and consider on a motion to increase.
Don't you have to finish
the
this
weekly
one?
Summer camp program fee to $75 a week.
Making a motion?
Yeah.
I'm second it.
Any discussion on that?
I think we had the discussion last year.
Right.
The points were very similar to what they are
we
tonight.
Need a vote, would we need a roll call, or can we just do a vote? Roll call? Can you do a roll call on that motion, please?
Commissioner Chase?
Favor.
Commissioner Carver?
Favor.
Commissioner Marlowe?
Favor.
Commissioner Schober?
Favor.
Commissioner Hillman?
Favor.
Commissioner
Plikas?
Favor.
Commissioner Stone?
Favor. Okay. So now that kind of sets the budget, can we have a vote on the original motion to consider and act on a motion to approve the 2024-2025 Recreation Department budget? Can I get a... I think it's been...
It's already... We just have to vote.
Right. So can we get a roll call vote on that?
Sure.
Please?
Commissioner Stone?
Yes. Favor.
Commissioner Plikas?
I'll favor.
Commissioner Hillman?
Favor.
Commissioner Schober?
Favor.
Commissioner Marlowe?
Favor.
Commissioner Barber?
Favor.
And Commissioner Chase?
Favor.
All right. Thank you. Okay. To consider an act on a motion to approve the capital improvement plan for 2025 to 2029.
Yes, Mr. Chair, unfortunately, having reviewed that plan electronically, I didn't print out a copy of it. Bring with me if anyone has an extra copy available. I think Commissioner Carver and I would both appreciate it. We'll give it back to Pete. Thank you very much.
I can make a copy at the meeting upstairs.
Sure, that's fine. Thank you very much.
So I need someone to
make a motion.
No, she said it. Someone has to make a motion to second it, right? Okay, I'll make the first motion. Someone has to second it.
I second it.
Okay.
Now we can discuss it.
So for this year, there's three items. Pete and I kind of put this together. We pulled it off of last year's unfunded items, and we put back on some things that were on the SIP plan last year that got pulled off, and they needed to go back on. So let me explain the 2024-2025. Item one is the large pavilion repair. That number is unknown at this point. As I mentioned earlier, right now we have $125,000. I believe Public Works has worked with a town engineer or maybe an outside engineer to redesign the repairs to the pylons again. I believe they feel they've come up with an adequate design that is within our budget. What I don't know is what else they're planning on putting out for bid at this point. I believe there's some structural roof. Things up in the roof area, and the roof itself needs to be done. I've heard from some parties that $125,000 will cover all of that. I don't think it will. So I really want to make sure that we put in our SIP plan for this year anything we need to finish the repairs on the pavilion. We've been
it's been three years of just doing this. It really has.
We need to wrap it up.
I think, by the way, the roof issue that was mentioned, and I could be wrong about this, and others may have more current input, but I think some of this had to do with the stage area, more so than the pavilion portion itself. The pavilion was a pre-engineered building supplied by, you know, someone, but the stage area was built by volunteers, you know, local folks and so forth, and so maybe there were some things that were done then that, you know, weren't quite right, and now's the time to catch them. I'm not sure. But it's gone on long enough. I did have a concern, not that it's necessarily reflected in any change I would propose here or anything like that, but we talked last month about the other pavilion being similar in terms of its structural design and built at the same time as the large one. And maybe we're not ready to address that one now, but I certainly do think that from an engineering perspective, we should be aware if that one is, you know, in a situation of, you know, imminent failure or, you know, or otherwise, and that we need to be considering it. Whether or not it's cost-effective to do both at the same time is kind of a moot point when we're struggling to find money just to do the one job. I certainly understand that. But I would think, though, that for similar reasons that's caused the large pavilion to come to the top of our list, so to speak, in terms of priorities, that we should know about that small pavilion at the same time in order to be thinking about whether that should be high on the list for next year as well.
I think what would be prudent would be to talk to Public Works and get the town engineer to inspect the small
pavilion. I think that would be important.
Yes.
And our last public time on Public Works as well. And the Public Works Director was not present at the last meeting, so I'm bringing it up this month.
Yeah. I mean, just given the concerns that have been raised about the large pavilion with various degrees of alarm, let's say, if any of that is, in fact, you know, such a major concern, then we should be thinking about the other one as well. And maybe, again, not for this year, but readjusting priorities for next year accordingly. For again, for the newer folks, not just the two newest, the way this process tends to work is the high priority items for the next couple of years have sort of worked their way to the top of the list, I think Mr. Chair would agree. And then the things that are further out are those things where funding is much more speculative, need is much less defined, let's say. And so things like the structural condition of the large pavilion has certainly resulted in it being where it is right now.
So, you know, as I ask for us to approve this SIP plan, I want to keep in mind that number is going to change. It won't be 400,000. It'll be, if I can, be a number that we can finish all the repair work that needs to be done. But we're kind of at the mercy of whether we're really going to have estimates to do that. I do not know what Public Works has put out for bid. I mentioned that to Kate today, which, not to bring up things we talk about a lot, but they really should be discussing that with us. We're supposed to be part of the process of maintaining facilities.
No, we're supposed to have a plan. We sort of always understood that to be an ongoing thing,
correct,
as opposed to
and I don't know what's going on with the pavilion right now. So I mentioned that, expressed that concern to Kate, and we'll get with John and we'll try to get on the same page.
But I mean, as a statement of priorities, particularly those top three items for the coming fiscal year, I think the pavilion, the basketball court reconstruction, and the Des Jardins playground, these have sort of worked their way through the process of being through different concepts, different permutations. We have now a much firmer idea, for example, on how that basketball court would be done, as opposed to some of the earlier ideas, let's say, and the Des Jardins playscape, I think, is relatively small potatoes in the scheme of things there, but it's important to have, I think, a facility that serves that part of the town and is an important statement, in and of itself for that reason.
Now, those items are back on the SIP plan, not to rehash everything. They were on the SIP plan last year. They got pulled off and got put on a low SIP plan. We got quotes. We actually thought we were going to start construction of both those items. Then we found out that we couldn't use low SIP money because they weren't on our SIP plan. So these are on our SIP plan for the sole purpose of being able to use low SIP money.
Yes. So as we stand right now with these three projects that John just mentioned that on the top of the list, where do they stand in the system now? Do you have any bids on these?
Yes.
Are they in the engineering stages or trying to get contractors?
Items two and three, we were ready to get the work done. So we're going to have to go back through the process again in June to get
them quoted
again.
So you're going to have to go back out to bid with them?
Correct.
Okay.
But I would suspect that, we can do both these projects for this amount of money, and we should be able to get them done, hopefully, by the end of the year. That would be the goal. The only one in question is the pavilion, because I do not know... I know they've re-engineered the repairs that have to be done on the posts. I have no clue what else they've done. I don't know if they've looked and got quotes for the roof and all that stuff. So, right.
And on a couple of these other things, for the coming year, the basketball court reconstruction, I think for that money, I think it's now understood that that would be an asphalt surface as opposed to what, was previously proposed. And I think, frankly, asphalt's a pretty standard surface for that kind of thing.
It is. The other option was $350,000, which would have been the post-tension construction that the pickleball and tennis courts are, 20-year guarantee. Now, the asphalt portion of it will be a little bit more than half of that. And it's my thinking is that if it does come in at, let's say, 150, just to split it down the middle for the two courts up at the Camp Oakdale, we do have a third court at Des Jardins Park that is also in need of repair. And so an additional $30,000, $40,000 could be used or so, because it's a smaller court, could be used to overlay that as well. And then if they do approve all 300, then the additional money that we don't use could potentially be put for the pavilion, should that go over whatever number they pick.
Well, that's the other thing. This all is subject still to change by others higher up in the process, let's say, including, you know, the fiscal reality of things. So it's not just a matter of preferences.
We were specifically told to put items 2 and 3 on here.
Yes.
Again, everybody thought that those projects were going to get done last year.
Well, you know, it's more, I think, Rocky, is a general statement, more the SIP plan is more than a statement of our own wishes and priorities. It's reflective of the fact that based on some of the funding sources that will pay for some of these things, presence on the SIP plan is important. So when you say we were told, you know, to do this, it's reflective of the fact that, you know, the nature of the funding available through various grants and so forth is such that it has to be here in order to happen. Otherwise, it's, you know, go to the taxpayers, and you know, that's not going to be a popular option.
So, you know, and the out years are just that. Those are things that, again, we've just carried forward. It probably is worth something for whether John or you, Pete, work on over the course of the next year getting updated quotes on some of this stuff for
Absolutely.
Next year's process.
These could change. Rocky, I think we've been here that, you know, we're the state to develop a grant funding program for efficiency lighting or something that, you know, makes it to our advantage to up those things on the priority list. You know,
I asked that question last week to John and Pete if anybody had looked at anything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. The schools changed all their lights to LED lights.
Incidentally, just as a brief aside on this subject, my understanding is that there, you know, Kate, maybe I don't know if I, you know, it's my understanding anyway at this point that there may be an upcoming presentation at a town council meeting concerning and there's an acronym or a program for this, but the environmental harm of keeping lights on, you know, all the time or very late when not in use and so forth. So this might be
the same thing.
Yeah, so this might be something that, you know, is relevant at least to the idea of lighting efficiency and something to consider as part of that.
Okay, any other discussion on this at this time? All right, so I have a roll call vote on a motion to approve the capital equipment plan, capital improvement plan for 2025 to 2029.
Thank you.
Commissioner Chase?
Favor.
Commissioner Farber?
Yes.
Commissioner Marlowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Schober?
Favor.
Commissioner Hillman?
Favor.
Commissioner Plagas?
Favor.
Commissioner Stone?
Favor. All right. Communications. Haven't had any communications. Anybody else get any communications they would like to talk about? Okay. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the public.
Is the mayor considered public?
Remarks from town council liaison Kate Southard. Could you stand up in a approach the bench.
That was one of the most painless budget processes I've seen in a couple of years, so congratulations, Chair. Nice work. Also, just want to remind you, like Rocky said, the dance room party is the 21st from this Sunday, 21st from 2 to 3. Also, I do plan on talking about the small pavilion with Public Works. Unfortunately, the Public Works director was not at the meeting, so I did not bring it up, but it is on the list. I've already talked to Councilor Karen as well regarding it, since he's the chair of that committee. And that's about it. Thank you.
I have a quick question. What's the score?
23 to 19.
Sorry. Remarks from Recreation Director Bushway.
I actually spoke with John today. We've been kind of having an issue with the lights at the pickleball tennis courts. The both of us have gone by on many occasions. The lights have been on, and there's nobody there. And John and I both have stopped and looked at how much time is on the dial, and it's been 30 minutes or more. So he has been, he looked at his bill, and it's running at a minimum of $400 a month to keep those lights on. And we haven't seen anybody playing in a very long time. So he was going to shut those down unless there was some big outcry from the public to try and save a few dollars, because his electric bill is going through the roof. But we haven't seen anybody. We're not sure if someone's turning them on to go to the dog park, or if they're turning them on and letting their dog run on the courts or behind the courts where there is light. But we don't see anybody there, and there's no cars in the parking lot. I'm coming from Mohegan School for basketball back to Tile or Murphy. I drive by there, and the lights will be on, and nobody there. So he was concerned about that expense coming out of his budget. So he was going to turn them off, and when they do go off and there's a power outage and they don't come on a timer, they always call us. So we know if there's going to be a big outcry, they'll call our office. They don't call John, they call us. So if there's a big outcry, then he'll turn them back on.
Pete, is the idea to turn off the light facility for now, for the winter months, and then later on when demand
nobody's using the lights for, you know, no one's playing pickleball because, A, they're covered with snow now.
It would be nice if we published that somewhere or put up a sign just saying that the lights are shut off until whenever. I do know just from looking at team meets, they still, when there's no snow there, they still try to get out there and play, even if it's cold. But not at night.
Definitely not. I've seen them out there. It's usually about 10 o'clock when it warms up a little bit.
Yeah. So
nobody today, though.
and I can put something on the team meets
post something on our Facebook page, and I'll have John put up a laminated sign on the gate.
And again, it wouldn't be so bad if we could get those switched over to be LEDs. So
that would be handy. Well, that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Remarks from the commissioners. Let's start down with the well-dressed gentleman.
Commissioner Chase. No.
Which one?
I just have one brief thing, and this is really for Kate. When you're talking about things, when the public works director is back and so forth, I know that there was an issue last year with the problem of access or unrestricted access to the field opposite the pavilion that a long time ago, it seems now, but really about 3 or 4 years ago, you and I and others worked very hard to get cleaned up from a state of what was in effect an unauthorized solid waste landfill, and had all the asphalt millings hauled out and the brush and everything, and now it's a great asset. But last year, there were cars going in doing donuts. There was a difficulty in getting the grass to grow, notwithstanding the need to keep it usable on farmers market days, but cars going in at other times probably weren't good for that. And one of the things that we had talked about at one point was the idea of slightly or somewhat constricting the access to that area with some sort of a fence that still left the ability to drive in and out, but sort of directed that traffic a bit. And I wonder if that's something you might see what the public works director thinks about, or whether he feels that might help that problem, because we did work very hard to create that real asset we have there now, and I just hate to see it turned into a mud pit, as it seemed to be last year when someone went in and made a mess of it.
I will ask him.
And that, you know, in turn would be something where there perhaps be a, you know, a question, you know, on the part of users like the farmers market as to what sort of constriction or regulation of that traffic would make sense. I know when the farmers market is set up, there are cones and there's a way in and there's a way out, and maybe there's a sort of a structural way at some modest cost of trying to reinforce that all the time.
My turn.
As we talk about energy efficiency and modernizing and all that mumbo jumbo, it's worth to keep in mind that there are resources in the state and federal government that the town might be able to harness in doing these upgrades. I know, at least federally speaking, the IRS has a program called the Elective Pay Program, which opens up for non-taxable entities to go ahead and apply for tax credits through the IRS. I don't know if there's anything specifically for like light bulbs or the like, but there is another website called Energize CT, which DEEP and other agencies kind of vomit the information out to kind of promote green energy across the state into. So it would be worth exploring what the town might be able to take advantage of to save the costs of these upgrades. That's it.
Okay. I'm all set. I have nothing. I'm just learning as I'm going here, but it's pretty interesting, and it seemed like the budget went well here. Yeah, so that's good. I'm glad.
Okay.
All set. I'm all set.
All right. One question. This list, this to-do list, I call it. Do we have any idea what's most important to the public of what we do? I mean, say the pavilion versus the basketball court. Oh, do we have 100 people that want the basketball court and only 15 that want the pavilion?
I mean, we have the public like comment that? Section available for folks who want to, you know, voice their thoughts on matters relating to what the commission is getting up to. Otherwise, the kind of input I suppose the commission has is, you know, we're members of the community and we're neighbors in Mottville.
Yeah, so we maximize, you know, the biggest bang for the buck for the public.
If there's anybody who has any strong feelings on it, I imagine they can come and testify.
How would gather that, you know, data, so or at least at, you know, addressing the needs that prioritizing is.
Yeah, I'll let you finish and then I'll.
Well, that's it. I just, you know, it's a lengthy list, but what's most important to the public?
So, you know, I guess my cut on that is, you know, we've been appointed by the town council as representatives of the public. Mm. So we can do whatever we want as far as reaching back. No, as far as reaching back out to the public if we want to. No, if we so choose to reach back out to the public and solicit opinions. For example, when we were talking about the community center, we did that. We did things like that. But, you know, this list here, I would say, is what has been generated, and I don't want to say we keep kicking the can down the road, but that's really what we've been doing, because the same stuff's been on this plan since I've been a member. Based on discussions with the recreation director and the director of public works. So to answer your question specifically, no.
Okay.
But I think what Noah was saying, the public is more than welcome to come to any meeting and voice their opinion. I like, you know, getting some opinion from the public, but the problem is if potentially you open it up to where people want roads rather than fixing the pavilion. And we're, you know, our charter is to work on the parkland, not on fixing roads and things like that.
Well, that's a good point, Rocky. In a purely democratic approach, none of this might be a priority for the public at as a whole. At the same time, we saw quite recently the dance class or dance group parents come forward, express a need, point out a potential solution, showed how it could be achieved relatively modestly and so forth, and there's a great success. That was something that wasn't even on our radar screen, really. And other things, of course, are driven by factors beyond our control. The pavilion posts are rotten and getting worse, whether the public likes it or not. And you know, at some point, you know, maybe somebody would rather, you know, some members of the public would rather see something new, a new kind of a field or a playground or something. But we have established an informal policy, I think, among ourselves over the last few years of desiring to take care of what we have. And so that's a factor, too. I think, John, the answer to your question is there's a whole bunch of things that factor into the mix. But any time the members of the public have some input, like the dance parents did, we try to respond if we can. And maybe there's a way going forward of maybe not opening up to a free-for-all, what does everybody think, on Facebook or something like that, but maybe faced with six or seven or so possible ways to spend effort and money over the next year or so, maybe some sort of a poll would be appropriate. Some sort of a outreach in different ways to the public, and it's always good to have that kind of input. And I think it's important that we keep in mind that ultimately our responsibility is to the taxpayers.
Yeah, we're always open to suggestions, but it's a point. We'll take it. What your thoughts are on that subject? Thanks.
Yeah, certainly that's the case. Even with the Disjardins Park playground, that was the neighborhood came to the commission and asked for an upgrade to what's currently there, which is not surprising because as neighborhoods change, the kids get older, their needs change, and then when they leave, and it goes back to the younger kids again. So there's a cycle for playgrounds that happens, and again, like the dance floor. We had another group of folks, actually before a lot of you were actually on the commission, about the splash pad. That's why that's on there, too. So it's community interest will come to us with an idea, say, hey, the community would like to see X, Y, and Z, and it gets put into this listing.
Along that same what we're going to find is that the projects that are successful, that we're successful in accomplishing, are ones that we can get widespread public support for. So the community center, right now we've talked about a couple plans. Like New London is in the process of putting a community center up. We started with that as a baseline, and we've gotten some rough pricing on that. We, with a pool and without a pool, I think we're actually, next time we have a meeting, we're gonna look at what we originally talked about 3 years ago. Is what is the real need? The real need for us, I think, was we want a couple more gymnasiums. Okay, that's what we identified 3 years ago, and so. Maybe we will end up coming up with three options we can present to the council and to the public. But whatever one of those options is the best will really be determined by the public and what we can sell to the public and what they're willing to support, because they ultimately have to pay for it. I think when
they
we
may
talk-
tell us to forget about it.
So I think we'll find that more and more. We're going to have to get public support.
And of course, all this, again, to John's point, varies with the nature and magnitude of the project and where the money would be coming from. Some of these things are nothing more than effort that, in some ways, on an organized, voluntary basis could be achieved, some of these very small things. But again, you know, you're probably talking, practically speaking, you know, well, you can see the numbers, you know, not really a lot of money for some of those things. You know, on the other hand, when the money is something that, you know, is, if it's going to come from anywhere, it's going to come from a state grant process, you know, the legislative process, ultimately in Hartford, crammed through whatever sort of program that we might fit into for that sort of thing, then, you know, it's a very different process in terms of how we work that way up through the development stages and, you know, get to the point of, you know, being able to qualify for whatever, you know, set of criteria that's been set out for that kind of funding source, whatever it might be. But good, I do appreciate John's points. And it's also true, I think, on the flip side, that when we do some of these things, if we do go forward with, you know, investment of modest amounts in Desjardins Park or playground, maybe even the basketball court, as you say, I think it's also important that we publicize these things and we, you know, make sure that the public knows that, you know, it's not just the residents of that neighborhood, but really that whole area of the town. There's parking on the street there. You can get there, bring your kids, and, you know, I think it'd be a very positive thing to do to make these assets more widely known. It certainly worked out in the case of pickleball and tennis, for sure.
All right. Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? All right. Thank you.